It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We love studying the Word of God, and we're in the book of John, John chapter 7. We're going to read the first 10 verses, John chapter 7, beginning with verse 1 through verse 10. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm glad that you've joined us today to study the precious Word. Now, if you've opened your Bible, we'll begin reading in John chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. And his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doest anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret." Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank you that you've given me this opportunity to present your word. I ask, Father, that you will openly and clearly make each word so clear that folks can hear and understand. I ask, Father, that as you continue to grow me and move me, make me what I should be, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your guidance and for your direction. Please continue, Lord, to help me to grow and to be like I should be for you. I ask, Father, that you will take this word and penetrate every heart, including mine, that, Father, each one can hear the words from you. And I ask, Father, that as we look to these words, that those that are lost, that have never come by faith to you, Lord, that they will come, and that they will look unto you, and that they will desire to be saved, and desire to come to you, Lord. And I ask, Father, that those of us that are saved, that we do not take your grace and your mercy for granted, but we look unto you each and every day, that we live each and every day to please you and to walk after you. We thank you for your power and for your strength. We thank you for your guidance. We praise you for your forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, that you will use us in a mighty way and make each one of our vessels, if we have come by faith to you, that they be able to be used. Help us, Father, to live for you today. And again, I ask that you will open these words up to not only the saved, but the heart of the lost, that they will come to know you through this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great time to come and to study the Word of God. I love to have this opportunity, appreciate this opportunity. Last time we went through the feasts, because the Jews' feast of the tabernacle was at hand. We read through verse 2. And so as we looked at the week before, the time before, we looked at the condition that the Jews were in. The Jews chose and decided or tried, attempted to kill the Lord Jesus. Of course, he would not be put to death until it is his will that it take place. And yet they desired to do it. Then last time we were together, we looked at the feasts, and we just took a very quick look at them, and I will list them for you again, and then we're going to go right to the tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacle, and that's the one that's occurring right here in the 7th chapter of John. And so we have first of all the Passover, and then we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, each one of those, and we've kind of talked just a little bit more what it represents, a time, an event that has either taken place or is going to take place, and then also just slightly a little bit about what it was about. And so it's a wonderful study. And again, Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and now the Tabernacle. Now at the Tabernacle, that's the time. And as we look, the Lord Jesus fulfilled the law. The Lord Jesus was perfect. He come to fulfill the law. And then, and as upon fulfilling the law, he would be then that perfect offering, that perfect sacrifice. And then when he became that perfect sacrifice, went to the cross, died upon that cross, and of course he is the only one that can do that, because he is completely and fully, totally God, and yet totally man. So he has come to the place, the position that he can be that perfect offering, that perfect sacrifice. And so he completed the work that his Father sent him to do by going to the cross of Calvary. At this time right here, we're within the last, within 6 months of the crucifixion. So as we go each time, and yet the closer it came to the offering that he was going to make, his life for ours upon the cross of Calvary, when it came close to that time, he did not decide that he was too busy or the hatred for him was too great. He must, he was required to fulfill the law. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been perfect. He completed it all. He came to do that. And so he died on the cross of Calvary. He offered his life for ours. And then 3 days later, he came out of that grave alive, victory over death. It's wonderful to serve a living God and not some dead statue or dead God. And in order to be saved, in order to trust in this perfect sacrifice, as we have back in Romans, you know, when it says, "Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, shall be saved." Well, you know, when we look at the mind and we look at the head, you know, many people have a head knowledge, and that head knowledge is not enough. And I want to look very quickly, and I want you to think of this, and then at the close we'll talk a little bit more about it. Because when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus, that he came to seek and to save us, we find the life of the Lord Jesus here when he is fulfilling the law, a law we could not keep. We find in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Then in verse 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh. The Lord Jesus, God the Son, came down here and took on a body of a man. And his name here is Jesus. You need to believe that in your mind. But as we've been talking about before, and that is that he is the living water. He is the bread of life. All those things we can imagine that we consume, we take in. Well, Jesus, we need to take in. Do you believe in your mind that he became flesh and dwelt among us? Do you believe that he came and went to the cross of Calvary, the place of which we're 6 months away from right here in the study? Do you believe that he fulfilled the law? Do you believe that Jesus was perfect, God and man? Well, let's take Jesus on in, right on down to your heart. Because that's where you need to believe it. And will you trust in Jesus today? And will you be saved? Jesus come to seek and to save those that are lost. He come to save you. in his walk here as we go each day, as we enjoy each day. We find that many people sought more to kill him than they did to believe in him and follow him. Today the world's much like that. They want to change everything, and they don't want to come by faith to Jesus in the mind, in the heart, to confess him with the mouth, to believe in the heart. They don't want to. Well, I'm asking you to listen to the word and let the Holy Spirit convict your heart and draw you to him today. We're about 6 months again away from the cross. The Feast of the Tabernacle is at hand. That feast is one of the three feasts that a Jew was required to be in Jerusalem for. Yet we've read that Jesus wasn't going to go. But we found in verse 10 that he went. You see, he had to go. He had to be in Jerusalem because he fulfilled the law. The three feasts that you need to be in Jerusalem is the Passover, Pentecost, and the Tabernacle. Those three feasts or festivals, they had to be in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to complete the law. But the reason I wanted to go through these things, because I want you to see that man's time and God's time is not the same. Now the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. The Feast of the Tabernacle, we shared just a little bit last time we were together, could be called the feast or the festival of booths. They dwelt in booths, and it was to remind them of their wilderness journey when they left Egypt. It was to remind them of God's care and protection. It was to remind them of God's grace and love that he set them free. It was to remind them of that. It was to remind them of the bondage they had in Egypt and the freedom they had when God had set them free and brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was to remind them of also the kind of the close, the ingathering of the labor of harvest, or as some said, the ingathering of the threshing floor and the wine press. It was that time of the year, and yet it was set to live in the tents. They had many, many activities. As we look through these feasts, they did many things publicly. They would not only live in the tents, but they would go through pouring out water. And that represented the time when the water came forth out of the rock when they was out in the wilderness. We find that also there was a parade of torches. The Lord Jesus, or the God, sent them, or delivered them, steered them, gave them direction by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And to do this by night, this parade of torches reminded them of how they followed and they were led by God through the wilderness. To not only again remember the living in the tents, the pouring out of the water, but now the parade of torches was all to bring them back, to remind them of this sweet, wonderful time that they were delivered out of Egypt and set free, given the land of Canaan, even though they neglected to come immediately. This celebration was to be celebrated, this feast was to be celebrated each year at the exact same time. And again, that was one of the three feasts that they were to attend: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. Those three were the ones that they were required to be in Jerusalem to celebrate. Now, let's get back to the scripture. His brethren, therefore, said to him, "Depart here and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest." Let's back up just a little bit to the beginning of that verse 3. Brethren. Now, that's a word that one would speak, one Jew to another. But this here is not just his disciples as worked with him, followed him. This is his half-brothers. You see, the Lord Jesus was born first, Virgin Mary, from the Virgin Mary. But Joseph and Mary had other children after Jesus was born. And we have the children as these half-brothers, because you see, the father of the Lord Jesus was the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. But after the birth of the Lord Jesus, and Joseph and Mary were married and had other children, these brothers followed after their half-brother, Jesus. They followed him, they listened to him, they watched him, but they did not believe. Oh, how can you be raised? How can you come and not believe in the Lord Jesus when you were raised with him, seeing that he was perfect always? His brothers were as sinful as what each one of us are. We need to recognize that Jesus is God. He come to seek and to save us. Again, as I read back in John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We need to understand that in our mind. We need to accept that in our heart. We need to believe that in our heart, that the Lord is here. He's come again to seek and to save those that are lost. His brothers had not learned that yet. His brothers had not listened yet. They were still looking at him as their brother. Yes, he was a great teacher, but they did not believe that he was God, nor at this time did they believe that he was Savior. So we find that the brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples also may see the work. Where is he? He is in Galilee. Those in Judea desired with all their heart to put him to death. Depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. The work that he does, the miracles that he performs, and showing that he is God, they didn't want to see. And the more that they showed him the more that the witness was there, the more they desired to kill him. Why would they want to do that? Knowing, finding out that he is God, why would they desire to kill him? Because you see, every time that they would see him a little clearer, any time that the Lord Jesus is present, the light is present. And the light shows and gives us a good view of our sin. So the only way to stay away, to stay in our sin, is to stay away from the Lord Jesus. We need to stay in the darkness. And that's what they intended to do. And they desired to put the light out. And they thought they could do that by putting him to death. So the brothers, the half-brothers, they desired that Jesus, come on, show them. Well, number one, they didn't believe. And number two, those folks that were there did not desire to believe either. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeth to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. How many times do we try to give direction to Jesus? Do we go to him and explain to him that something we want to do? So we tell him, that this is what we're going to do, and we don't go to him and ask him how we're to be doing it. We don't really go to him and ask him how we're to be living. We don't go to him as a young adult and desiring to seek his will for our life as we begin to pick out a career, to pick out where we're to be. We don't ask him. We go down the list and we see which one makes the most money. That's how we get there. We don't do it by asking him if this is where we're to stay. Money or not, We need to be where God wants us. These brothers, these half-brothers, were instructing Jesus on what he should do. Do we do the same thing? Yes, we do. We do what we want to do, and we excuse by whatever means we want to what we're doing. We try to cover it up, or we try to make an excuse for it, or we try to explain it away. We try to make an excuse for it instead of coming to Lord Jesus, looking to him, following his leadership, whether it be for something we're to be doing or something we're to not be doing. We need to follow him, and we need to seek his will right up front. But we're just like the brothers. We're just like the brothers. Do we try to tell Jesus what to do? Neither did his brethren believe in him. In verse 5. Do you remember reading that a little bit earlier? Do you remember seeing that? For neither did his brethren believe in him. His half-brothers. And yet they had advice. Many times this world has much advice for the believer. And so often the believer follows after the world instead of following after the Lord Jesus. So many times. I said, you need to go up there. You need to show them these miracles. You need to do this, this, and this. And Jesus said, no. And he makes this statement, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Then verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. It's kind of a different statement, isn't it? My time is not yet come. What time was Jesus keeping? What clock was he watching? What calendar was he attending to? It was not to his. It was to his Father's. Not my will, but thine, he says. He spends much time explaining that he is not doing his will. He's doing his Father's will. Yes, he is in complete agreement with it. But he is following after his Father's will. Oh, that we as believers would desire the same, to do and be only what the Father wants us to be. And of course we must come to the Son, the Lord Jesus, leaving the mind and the heart to do that. My time is not yet come, but we've got that little three-letter word, but your time is always ready. Your time is always ready. Is that the way you are? You're not listening to God. You're not desiring to have his will and have his way. You're doing it your own way whenever you want to. You see, these brothers, these half-brothers of the Lord Jesus, they were telling Jesus what to do. And Jesus turned to them and says, my time is not yet come. You do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. You're not listening to anybody. I'll come back with that same question. Is that the way you are? Is that the way I am? Do I listen to no one, and I do whatever I want to do when I want to do it? Sometimes. And so do you. But it shouldn't be that way to a believer. Now, to a lost person, as these brothers, yes, they're answering to nobody. Whenever they want to go up to Jerusalem, they can just go up to Jerusalem. Because, you see, they haven't sought the Father's will. They haven't looked into His will and His way and decided that, yes, now is the day to go, or we'll wait and we'll go tomorrow. You do whatever you want to do. And that's what Jesus is telling them. But I don't. Nor should we. We should not do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many years you've been saved. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care the position that you have within the church. We should never, never do our own will. We should always seek the will of Him that sent Jesus. We should always seek the will of the Father. And we'll know that through the Holy Spirit, by the means of the Son to the Father. We'll know His will. But do we just lie to do just like this? We come and go all the time, and so they thought Jesus should do the same. Come on, let's go, because these people need to see you. And oh, if they see their miracles, then they'll know. Well, they were talking about something they didn't even know. Because, you see, they didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not recognize that Jesus was to be their Savior. They did not recognize their sin. They missed this verse of Scripture in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among them, and He was standing right there, and they didn't know it. Is He right there for you? Is your eyes set upon Him? Are you looking unto Him? Will you trust Him not only with your mind, confession with your mouth, but believe in your heart? Take Him in. Please trust in the Lord Jesus today. A couple sad statements here. For neither did His brethren believe in Him. Another sad statement, of course, is common to a lost person. Your time, you're always ready. You can go do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. You think, well, why do I want to become a believer in Jesus Christ if now I can do whatever I want to do? Well, if we look to the Word of God, you'll find that you're condemned already. And you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because you have missed this free gift. You have missed the grace that God has handed to you because you've missed Jesus. And you'll find that even though you can go do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, it's not going to bring a peace and joy to your heart. Because you're going to go do something, and you're going to think, boy, that's going to bring so much fun and be so much joy in my heart. You're going to go do it, and you're going to find out that it didn't work. And so you go do something else again and again and again, and it never works. But the day you come to know Jesus, and the day you begin to walk with Jesus, is the day that joy will be there day after day, and the joy will come because you're following His will. You see, His will and His way is perfect. No, we can't follow it perfectly, but His way and His will is perfect. And so for us to go that direction, to follow after Him as close as we can, will bring such a joy and a peace into our heart. The world cannot hate you, verse 7 says, but Me it hates, because I testify of it, the works thereof are evil. People don't want to know Jesus. They don't want to be close to Jesus. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the brighter the light. And when you come into the room when Jesus is present, when the Word is preached so strong, it shows you your sin. And at the same time explains to you how to be saved. Will you believe the Word of God? Will you accept that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you. Will you trust in Him? Ask Him into your heart. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?